from the ESPN 97.5 studios. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
They needed to win 2 out of 3 on the road. Now, they're back to being massive favorites in this series. And you can make all the excuses you want for the Nationals. And listen, I feel bad for Max Scherzer. He had to be damn near in a wheelchair to not pitch in the World Series.
And yeah, and you know, everybody keeps saying, well, I think he'll come back for Game 7. If he was bad enough that he couldn't pitch, I would not be betting on that.
This game next week, the London game, is suddenly really big.
Yeah, well, because if you go into that, and if you can get the win, you go to the bye 6-3, and hopefully you get Titus Howard back after the bye, you get your cornerbacks back, you are relatively healthy. And, you know, then the Ravens are team you should be able to beat, or at least compete with, and then you got to beat the Colts at home. I mean, they could conceivably be sitting there 8-3.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number 3, 713-780. ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. There's Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Tyler Drew Scott. You can text the show, you know the number for that. And you can watch us on Twitch. And right now, you can get our man Lance Zierlein, who you can follow at Lance Zierlein. What's going on, man?
Hey, what's up, guys?
What are you doing, Halloween costume shopping?
I have been, yeah. We're on the way home from, I've got a little something planned. A little, you know, I've done...
A couple's costume? Is that what we're talking here?
Well, no. I've got, my two kids are looking, and they can't really find anything, but... you know, I've done some costumes that have gone viral in the past. Jesse Pinkman and Walter White back in 2011. For my two little kids, I had a baby Don Draper back in like 2009. I did Julia Louis-Dreyfus retweeted the picture of my daughter as her from Deep. I've had some last year. I had 2 years. No, it was last year. My daughter was Ruth Langmore from Ozark, and I thought that was going to be it, but I've got one more in my bag. So
you're dressing up your kids, right? Not you?
Oh yeah, that's right. If they can't find something, too bad. I got something for them.
You got something.
I don't want to give it away either. I don't want to give it away.
My younger son couldn't decide last year what he wanted to be, so I said you're going to be Pee Wee Herman. He didn't like the idea, but it ended up being just a wildly successful costume.
Yeah, no, that's one that can absolutely work. Like I was thinking about, and everything that I've ever done has been a little off the grid, like Veep before it got really big, as Breaking Bad was in the early stages. I wanted to do the antagonist slash protagonist, I'm not sure what she is, from Killing Eve, Villanelle, who's like this murder for hire Russian assassin. I was going to let my daughter go as that, but I figured, I don't know. Maybe that's not the right. She wants to be a witch. I'm thinking I can do something better.
Just dress her up as Juggalo Trey.
What's that?
Juggalo Trey. It's an under the radar thing. Like it's not. It hasn't reached its full potential yet.
Very under the radar.
And your son can be superhuman, and just give him a split.
Superhuman would be a great one.
And good friend Paul. If you've got a dual, if you need a combo costume, have good friend Paul and superhuman, and give your kid a sign that says "bleep this bleep." And you're good to go.
My good friend, yeah, my good friend Paul. So if you're a basketball watcher, you'll get this one. You'll get this one. This is for basketball Twitter.
All six of them?
Oh, there's tons in basketball. Yeah, basketball Twitter is actually one of the strongest Twitters out there.
Wow. Yeah,
I don't pay any attention to it.
Yeah, I don't. I'm not a part of Rockets Twitter.
Yeah, they're not on your timeline.
They cuss me out every once in a while, but that's about it. We talked earlier in the show. Well, first, let's get your thoughts, your impressions, your takeaways from the Texans win. Did you feel like, because Fred feels good about the win, I felt pretty meh about the win.
Oh.
What did you take away from that thing? You feel good?
I thought they were awfully lucky to get a holding penalty. I mean, it was the right call, but that Richie Incognito holding penalty, if they don't get that, I think the Raiders may go down and score and beat them. For me, it was, you know, once you put Derek Carr in a 1st-and-20 situation, he's going to struggle because he doesn't have great wide receivers, and then he's not a guy that typically looks down the field with success, although he did have a catchable throw there that was dropped. But I think once they got behind the sticks at first and 20, they were in a lot of trouble. It's hard for me to get excited about that win simply because I know what it came with, which was an injury to Lonnie Johnson that was a concussion, and we know those things can linger. J.J. Watt out for the year, and he's been playing pretty good football. They got worse after yesterday's injury. After yesterday, because of injury again. Yes, I think Titus Howard coming back is going to be a big deal. I think Laramie Tunsil will be back and be okay. And so the offensive line, I'm not that worried about that once they get Titus Howard back. Now, the question for me, though, is where do you go at cornerback now? Because Conley, we'll see. But, man, he had some issues yesterday, and you gave up a third for him. J.J. may come back, which I guess will help, but I don't think Bradley Roby comes back until after the bye week, that he may have a chance then. So it's going to be about survive. You did survive that game, and you got to win, which is critical. Winning next week is also, you know, it's going to be important to try to, you know, you need to try to get that win as well. If you don't, the good news is, and you guys talked about it, after the bye week, I do think this team has a chance to get cleaned up a little bit injury-wise. But losing J.J. Watt is going to be a problem because you're already not going to be very good in the back end. You're not as good as you need to be. And that's only going to get worse when you've taken one of your only pass rushers out of the mix.
You know, we talked earlier in the show, and I'm of the belief that the Texans should honestly at this point consider moving on from J.J. Watt in this offseason. It wouldn't cost them anything. There's no dead money if you do it. And I don't know that he's a $15 million a year guy anymore, especially now that he's played half the games over the last four seasons. That's a big enough sample size that I think it's from a football standpoint, makes sense to move on from him. Obviously, it'd be a very difficult decision to make to be the guy who pulls the trigger on that. But, yeah, I mean, what do you think of J.J. Watt's value now, after his another three out of four now that he hasn't been able to finish a season?
Well, his value is only as good as, you know, how he plays. And this year he was, you know, he had started playing fairly well. I thought he was slow coming out of the gate in the first couple, but he really picked it up since then, and he was – you know, he was playing a pretty disruptive brand of football before getting hurt. Was he at the level where he once was? No. If he gets back to that level again, then there's really no reason not to bring J.J. back and let him play, because it's not like you have any draft picks to replace him. And you also, which was one of my concerns, by the way, is I felt like J.J. Watt is just an injury waiting to happen, and not having draft picks to me was. Now, it's a big concern for me because I feel like you're going to need corner, you're going to need pass rush, at least one, maybe two. You obviously need to find wide receiver help to replace, to have the eventual replacement for Will Fuller, because that's just not going to cut it. And so, you know, but if J.J. plays well, if he does decide to come back, you know he's going to bust it in rehab. You know he'll come back at least a certain level. Will it be up to his financial amount? I don't know, but you're not in a cap situation right now, so I don't think it matters. Now, the flip side of that coin is if J.J. retires, look, they're not cutting him. That's not going to happen. He's going to have to step down because there's no way Cal McNair is going to be okay with cutting a J.J. Watt. However, let's say J.J. Watt retires, which I do think is possible. I mean, I really do think that's – he's mentioned being so frustrated that he considered retirement last time he had a season-ending injury. So let's say he retires. All of a sudden that money – is open up, and you are an active player in free agency because you're going to have to be. You don't have draft picks. So I do think there's a better chance of J.J. retiring than being cut.
Well, I think, you know, Gronk retiring early has kind of opened that door for players who, you know, are not old men to walk away from the game with tread still on their tires. And, you know, J.J.'s, like Gronk, has spent most of his time recovering from injuries over the last 4 years, more time than he spent playing football.
Yeah, and I think J.J., outside of he's going to have a life outside of football, not just a personal life, but I think he's going to end up having a public life outside of football. I think Gronk will, too. He already does. And I think, you know, it'll be more pronounced if he doesn't come back in the football. J.J. will be the same way. I don't know exactly what it will be, but I think he likes being in the limelight. I think that's something that he likes and enjoys. I think he likes using his celebrity, you know, to benefit different people and different things. So I think J.J. can probably see a light at the end of the tunnel where his life is going to go in a different direction. He's not going to be one of these old school guys like, I don't know what I'd do without the locker room, the camaraderie. I just miss it. I mean, yeah, he may miss the game, but he's going to have a ton of money, and he's going to have a new life that may include marriage and whatever else outside of it. So I don't think J.J. is going to be around too much longer, personally. And this injury, I think, is going to maybe hasten that departure. So we'll see. Man, a torn pec, that takes a little while to come back from.
I felt like the only team that really impressed from the AFC South this week, I mean, all four win, but I think the only team that really impressed was the Jags.
Yeah.
You know, from a matchup standpoint, what do you see what kind of problems can the Jags show to the Texans? Where do they match up well?
Well, so when you watch them, for one thing, let's remember where they were last time and where they are this time. And handicapping, there's always kind of a division flip-flop rule, meaning if a game goes a certain kind of way the first time, it usually goes the other way the next time. Well, that was a dead stone under the last time. This time, I think you got a quarterback who is certainly much more locked in. And he didn't play poorly in the last game. He had a good last series, but it's not like Minshew just ate him up. But this version of quarterback Gardner Minshew, I think, is going to be a lot better because DJ Chark has really come into his own. And, you know, to me, I think with Chark being who he is as a player, getting better and a much bigger factor than last time, with Fournette being a bigger factor now and healthier, Gardner Minshew having experience in the NFL and having, you know, having seen the Texans previously, the Texans beat up in the secondary, I think it's going to be really tough because Jacksonville also, they still have defensive talent. They got rid of Ramsey, but I think they also got rid of some stress in the locker room because I've been told he was the biggest of the alphas. And when you pushed him out of the door, I think it released a lot of stress in that locker room. So I think Jacksonville's going to be a tough, tough out for them. Now, yeah, they looked impressive against a crappy Jets team, but I do agree with you. It's interesting because there's not anyone with a really bad record in the division, and yet none of them really were very impressive in wins yesterday.
Yeah, and none of them played good teams yesterday either. Yeah, I mean, every one of those teams beat up a sister of the poor.
Exactly.
Interesting, too, that all of Deshaun Watson's worst games have come against Jacksonville.
Yeah, that has been with, now all of them have included Jalen Ramsey in the past, taking out his number one option, or at least matching up with his number one option, not always taking out. But just Deshaun is just not the same guy when Will Fuller's not in. There's something about the defense having to worry about 15 flying down the field that really opens up the middle and opens things up for Deshaun Watson. And yesterday is a great example. You didn't have Will Fuller on the field, and while he found DeAndre Hopkins, there's a lot of tight window throws, and there weren't as many, you know, throwing to wide open spaces in the middle of the field. Like, it's passing game just gets much tougher when Will Fuller's not on the field. Unfortunately, Will Fuller's just not on the field a lot, so it is what it is.
What do you think is as far as, you know, the Texans or the trade deadline? Do you think anything happens? I know we've heard talk. The craziest rumors, I think, are about DeAndre Hopkins, but do you think there's any reasonable thing that the Texans can do at the deadline to improve?
So I read Bill O'Brien's transcript today, and he called it slim to none, the chances now, and it depends on where your team is right now. And I think with the loss of J.J. Watt, with the secondary getting beat up more, I think he's starting to see the writing on the wall that this is not going to be a season where they're going to win at the highest level. So he may be a little hesitant. Now, I tell you what's not crazy, and I haven't loved Bill O'Brien, and this would really be insane because this guy's better than Conley, but if you could go out and if the Rams would take like a sixth on Aqib Talib, I would probably consider that. I mean, I hate giving away draft picks left and right, and Talib is probably a one-year rental. But if you're really trying to win the division, to leave for a six-rounder, I mean, I don't know who's going to take him on. The Texans have money to take him on. It's not a problem. And I think for a six-rounder, I would probably consider Aqib Talib, as he's a veteran. You could pair him with Roby and J.J.O. once both those guys get back and actually have a potentially competitive secondary by the end of the year.
I think the problem is the Rams, now they've won two games in a row. They're 5-3. They're still fighting for a playoff spot. I can't imagine that they're just going to want to roll over
They just said they need it for Rams. I think they want to get rid of him to free up money. They want to get his money off the books now so they can do Ramsey right now in season. I think that's, now What's the going rate on Aqib Talib? You know, that's going to be the question. I think the Rams are open to potentially dealing Talib, regardless of what their record is. I think they believe they can win with or without him now if they ever end.
What's the price on a guy like Chris Harris? Who, I mean, the Broncos they're already willing to move on from guys, or Darius Slay in Detroit. It seems like there are guys on teams that. Maybe the Lions haven't totally given up on the season,
right. But
surely the Broncos have, and I imagine they're looking to get anything for guys like that.
I mean, if you're the Texans, you probably offer 4 firsts for Chris Harris, I'm assuming.
That sounds about right.
In that neighborhood, somewhere in there. No, I mean, they gave a 3rd for Conley. Chris Harris, to me, you almost have to be out of the mix for Chris Harris, but if you really wanted to, you know, I do think the Texans should really consider paying Bradley Roby at the end of the year. So I would keep that in mind, that if they consider keeping Bradley Roby, it's going to be Roby, Watson, and Laremy Tunsil are the 3 guys they're going to have to look at paying. And there's a good chance that Watson and Tunsil are going to be the highest paid at their position. So we're probably looking at in the neighborhood of $60 million a year for those 2 guys total. And then Roby, you know, I don't know what the going rate on Roby is, but he's played pretty good football up to this point. So you're going to use up a big chunk of your salary cap on those 2 guys. But at the same time, I mean, you're going to have to, if Roby goes away and J.J. retires, what are you doing at corner? I don't know. Maybe they would look at trading yet another draft pick for a guy like Chris Harris if he was open. And if you're John Elway, you really do need to look at just adding draft picks right now, because that team is a disaster.
Well, the thing about Roby is that's another guy who's already missing games. I mean, that's 2 games already he's missed, and who knows when he'll be back. I'm with you. When he's been on the field, he's looked good, but I mean, what are you gonna keep paying these guys who can't seem to stay on the field? And Roby's, it's not like Roby's 23, 24. That's a guy who's been in the league for a while.
Yeah, I think he's like 28 or so, but I'd say he's still probably in his prime. Look, you're going to have to sell out a team somehow. And he was a 1-year rental. And you lost Tyrann Mathieu's 1-year rental. You gained Gibson, who you believe is better against tight ends. But now Roby is a legit cover corner and with some speed. And if you lose him, I mean, you're almost hitting reset again at the cornerback position. Because, I mean, unless Conley's a player, right now I really think you have to really take a wait-and-see attitude with Conley, because – it wasn't great yesterday. It wasn't great with the Raiders. But let's give them some time and see what Romeo Crennel and his staff can do with them. So we'll see. I mean, they paid a 3rd for him. The Texans view him as a future starter, so it's not like they're going to get away from it.
All right, that's Lance Zierlein. You can follow him on Twitter, at Lance Zierlein. You can listen to him on the bench in the mornings. Lance, appreciate the time, and enjoy your Halloween shopping.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, guys, I have to tell you about my bookie. And if you want to get in on the game tonight, you still got time to do it. Maybe you want to get in on the Rockets tonight. You could do that, too, all at mybookie.ag. And, yeah, it wasn't the best weekend for me. My bookie account took a little bit of a beating. But that's okay, because I'm going to jump right back in there and do it again. And if you want to get signed up, if you've been thinking about doing it, you can sign up today. They're going to double your first deposit. Just use promo code RADIO, and you'll get an exclusive double your money offer. MyBookie.ag, promo code radio. They've got all kinds of promo codes for you to check out. And if you're already signed up, they got reload bonuses. They got whatever you want. I mean, they you can bet on anything. Hockey, horses, you name it. MyBookie has you covered. Breeders' Cup coming up this weekend. You want to get some bets down? MyBookie is the place to do it. And if you win, you get paid. That's the best part about it. Nobody pays out faster. They will take care of you if you win. Go use promo code radio right now to get your exclusive double your money offer. MyBookie.ag, promo code radio. Play, win, get paid. MyBookie.
This is the Blitz. The Blitz.
On ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Joining us now from Carbach, our good buddy Eric Warner, who has brought us beer, as he usually does.
Yes!
Brought you guys something extra special today.
Yeah.
We got a little WBH. WBH. It's wine, Barrel Hellfighter.
And this is, I'm assuming this is the first, the first anyone's had.
It is.
Yeah, of course.
It is. This is already going to be an extremely limited release. But literally, this thing went into the tank. As I was talking with you, AJ, in the break, this is the first time I've tasted it fully carbonated and ready to go. And
it's nice.
It's really nice.
It was a little cold when we first poured it, and as it warms up a little bit, that's a good beer.
Yeah, you got good chocolate notes. You got great fruit notes from the barrel. A little bit of wood.
Not enough of this to bottle, I'm assuming.
No.
So it'll just be it'll be in house only at the restaurant.
Yeah. Yeah, extremely limited.
When will it go on?
Maybe around Foamhenge. I need to verify that, okay. but fairly soon.
Well, maybe if I don't. I'm not trying to tell you what's going on. I don't know for a fact, but I know in the reads that I've been reading, if you're a VIP ticket holder, you'll have access to some special tappings at Foamhenge. Wouldn't shock me if WBH is one of them.
That's right. You never know. You gotta come. You gotta play to find out, right?
That's right.
You gotta buy the ticket and take the ride.
Speaking of taking a ride, you'll be taking a ride with us. You're going to London with us.
Really excited about that.
Look at you.
I mean, what a great beer country and beer city. And you know, AJ, they've really embraced the whole U.S. kind of craft movement. It used to be that the American brewers, they would sort of fawn over these, you know, tired cask ales that were flat and, you know, maybe there was a little diacetyl in the beer. But the tables have completely turned and the rest of the world, the UK included,
they're doing pastry stouts and hazy IPAs.
I don't know if it's gonna that far, but yes, they're using a lot of American hops and, they're looking to what we're doing for inspiration. So it'll be interesting to check out some of the local breweries and places that have some of these beers on tap
for sure.
See what they're like.
I'm excited about it. I think there'll be some good beer there. I think it'll just, I don't know. I keep hearing everybody says the food's horrible there. You can find good food. Like, just don't eat like shepherd's pie,
bangers and mash, and
fish and
chips.
Like
that's all they've got.
Guess what they've probably got there. Burgers, pizza. They probably got all the stuff we got. I mean, it's a metro city.
Well, and I'm looking forward to, like, I'm one of those people, I really love, like, Indian and Pakistani type food.
I know,
and
they got a lot of that.
Oh, there's no way I'm eating Indian food while I'm in a different country.
But they're like locals there now.
Yeah, but dude,
do you like Indian food?
Indian food is literally the only kind of food that I don't mess with.
I have another buddy who's like that, man.
It's not that I don't like it. Well, I don't like curry, so it makes eating Indian food difficult for me. But Indian food doesn't like me.
Yeah.
Also.
Yeah.
So it becomes,
you pay the price the next morning.
It becomes problematic, and especially overseas, I'm not looking for that.
Ring of fire, man. You're not looking for that in London.
No.
If you go to Asia, that's one thing, but in London, no.
Yeah. No, I'll eat shepherd's pie before I eat Indian food in London. Trust me.
But there's world acclaimed chefs there. I mean,
yeah,
I think
it's
you
like
could
New York
go,
City. Like, yeah, people don't realize. It's like everything is there.
And they've, look at all the celebrities. What's his name? The Gordon Ramsay guy. They've got all these celebrity chefs. And
it's not a buffet.
I love that ad.
He's a cocktail stick.
My wife's all into this show now. I think it's on Netflix or Amazon, but it's a bake-off. It's like an English, the Great Bake Off or something it's called. But they're making like, you know, croissants and cakes and pies. But it's in England. So they're all about the, you know, cuisine, man. We will not
eat well.
But here's the most important question. So 2 years ago, I go to Germany and I go to the home opener for FC Bayern, which is, as Glenn would tell you, the elite soccer team of the Bundesliga.
Okay.
Guess what you can't get at that game?
Beer?
Bingo. Wow. They sell light beer, which is garbage. It's like 2%.
Ugh.
And so what is the deal at Wembley Stadium?
What's the deal with the beer sales?
I'm sure somebody's been there that can tell us, that's listening.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm hoping that that if I can get tickets relatively cheaply, there's an Arsenal match on Saturday that we're thinking of going to, which would be kind of cool.
I can't imagine that there's no beer sales at an NFL game.
Yeah.
No matter where it is. It is permitted at American football events.
But implying that it's not at the soccer games.
So here's what it says. There are different policies in place regarding the purchase of alcohol during each and every event at Wembley Stadium. As a general rule, the sale and consumption of alcohol is permitted at concerts. It is permitted at rugby league events and other sporting events like American football. However, there are strict rules in place regarding the sale and consumption of alcohol at football events.
Meaning soccer.
It is permitted on the concourses and in the restaurants and in private hospitality areas at all England friendlies, FA Cup competitions, and football league games. For competitive UEFA and FIFA fixtures, alcohol is only allowed to be sold and consumed within the restaurants and private hospitality areas and not on the public concourses, which includes anyone with a block number starting at 1 or 5. For all football events, including FA Cup finals, semifinals, and other cup finals, alcohol must not be consumed inside the main stadium bowl or within view of the pitch.
So this means, that sounds like the rich, they're letting the rich drink,
yeah,
but not the hooligans.
Yeah.
The soccer hooligans.
That makes sense.
That does make sense, I have to say.
Yeah, there's sometimes you don't want alcohol at certain events.
So I don't think I've told you guys this. My Yankee Stadium encounter.
Oh, I thought you were talking about when you went to the gathering of the Juggalos.
I was at Yankee Stadium for game 4.
Oh.
I have never been.
Were you wearing this Astros jersey?
I was wearing what you see right now plus an orange.
You weren't wearing shorts.
No, it was cold. I had long pants on.
You wear shorts with high socks. You're
these are short socks. Hey, we're getting off topic here.
You're an old man.
Of course I am. Of course I am. But I was scared. I went to the bathroom in the 8th inning. And that, as the place was emptying out, man, you want to talk about a scenario where the light goes on and the cockroaches leave. But I have never I was scared. And I've been to, you know, I've encountered Raider fans before. I've never been to Philly. I've heard that really takes the cake. But so, yeah, I get it, because these people were definitely all boozed up and they were going after Astro fan hard. And we were being very humble.
Yeah,
we were not. Like in their face. So, but it's, hey, sounds like we're going to be able to have some beers there. Now, whether there are any beers of quality is going to be,
I'm sure it's
going to
be those guys who sponsor the NFL.
Those guys, yeah. Maybe. Coors is a big sponsor over there. So if,
listen, they've got to have some kind of British beer on tap. So at a minimum, I'll at least be trying something new.
Fair enough.
I don't think I'm going to be drinking Bud Miller Coors at a football game in London.
It's going to be all Guinness.
I don't want to drink that either.
Yeah, I may be in the minority on this, but I think Guinness tastes like motor oil. I've never been a fan.
I mean,
and I like stouts.
Yeah, I mean, Guinness is it's fine. It's not my go-to either.
I mean, before the aforementioned three that you mentioned, because I don't want to get in trouble, you know, mentioning one of those by name.
Yeah.
But I would absolutely have the Guinness before one of those.
Certainly.
You know.
Especially
true.
Especially in 40-degree and rainy weather.
Well, and maybe I've heard, if it's on tap there, then...
Everything I've heard, and this is crazy, so I've heard, on draft, if you get Guinness fresh, which we never get here in the States, it's pretty good. I had a buddy tell me, if you get Heineken on tap at the source,
oh, it's good.
It's delicious.
Yes.
We never get fresh Heineken here in the United States, so we don't know what it tastes like. So, I mean, a lot of it is a matter of how long that beer's sitting around.
It's the same thing in Canada. I mean, it tastes better if you go get it on tap there.
So, I don't know. And I'm sure...
Oh, then I'm looking forward to trying Guinness on tap.
I'm sure those other beers that the aforementioned three, I'm sure they don't taste as good in England as they do here.
They brew them there, though, because they have cross... So, those
I mean, do they have Blue Mountains in London?
Well, I don't know about Blue Moon. I don't know.
No, Blue Mountains on the Coors? Like, I thought that's only brewed with Rocky Mountain water.
Oh, they ditched that a long time ago.
Oh, those bastards.
After one of the other, you know, three aforementioned kind of went after him for that. They're constantly locking it up over that. Anyway, we digress. We'll talk about all that in London.
I got to talk about Carbach. We're talking about all this bullcorn beer. Well, you know what they won't have in England? Probably Carbach. Sucks. We'll have to drink their swill. And you know what they won't have in London? Ace Frehley doing Foamhinge. No, they have Stonehenge, which is a bunch of stupid rocks. Do they have basically, not the front man from Kiss, but the other guy from Kiss, the guy who got kicked out of Kiss, do they have him? No, they don't. He'll be at Foamhinge in America, Houston, Texas, USA, where there'll be free parking, $5 craft beer, not £5, $5 craft beer, free parking, and children under the age of 12 get in free. General admission tickets are $28, VIP a hundo, and you're going to get an optimal view, separate entrance from the plebes. You'll get access to beer that the plebes won't get access to. You'll get a few beer coins, 3 beers of your choice. You'll get a buffet. Use the cocktail stick. There's a buffet at the Carbach restaurant and patio. And a commemorative t-shirt. Go to CarbachBrewing.com to get your tickets today. Follow Carbach on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. See what they've got going on at the restaurant, at the brewery, with the concert series. And then when you're out and about, ask your bartender, pretty please, make it a Carbach.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. And Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis coming up next. Saw Glenn outside getting warmed up, kicking some balls in the goal. So
balls to the goal. So, Eric, being the European expert amongst the three of us, is there anything we need to know? Is there anything we need to prepare for? I mean, you made it sound like the weather's just normal for it to be 40 and rainy.
So the one thing I would say is, if you guys are moving around a little bit, believe it or not, especially after you go in the tube and see the rats and how old and antiquated it is actually a more efficient way to get around, especially in central London. So public transportation it becomes your friend.
So remember when we were in LA, you probably saw pictures of me riding around on those scooters. They've got those scooters in London. That's how I'm getting around.
They
London.
Do have those now?
They've got them now.
Okay. All right. Well, if you okay. Well, there you go. Hey, I may join you on that.
What am I waiting for? A taxi? No.
No.
You just scan it with your phone and you ride the scooter.
Although that is one thing you should do when you're in London is go in their classic kind of old black taxis.
Yeah, those things are expensive as hell, I'm told, though.
Those are the taxis where if you don't have money, you can have sex with the cabbie in the back and he'll video it and he'll tell you halfway through, I'm videoing this on the it's going to be all over the telly if you don't do it, if you don't finish this. And I'll have to go, oh, I guess so. Just have your way with me. I've seen that movie before on Pornhub.
All I know is that in the first...
Oh, you forgot your wallet, did you? Well, there's one thing you can do. Otherwise, I'm going to have to call the coppers on you. Well, what do I do? You know what to do. And then he pulls out his big old British dong.
If it's British, it won't be big. So there's that.
Oh. Snaggly teeth. And he's like, oh, yeah, you do it just like that. Just like that. Right there.
See, I would be more scared that the cabbies are serial killers like in the first Sherlock. That was the bad guy. Too. The bad guy was a cabbie.
So you heard the sounds that happened at Nationals Field last night when a certain somebody was.
Yeah.
Be prepared to have a lot of people asking you, and what I would fire right back
no
is,
no one's going to know I'm American. I'm going to do that voice the whole time.
You'll crack at some
and
point.
They're going to think I'm Canadian because I'm like, oh,
all right. What's the deal with this Trump, eh?
Exactly.
That's what I'm going to say.
There you go.
That's
there
what
go.
I'm going to say.
And Fred can just be like, hey, we got Justin Trudeau, leader alive.
Why don't you ask this yank over here?
You're going to throw Fred under the bus?
I'm going to throw you under the bus. Yeah. All right, Fred's Canadian. Yeah.
I'll be like, oh, geez, our prime minister's hotter than yours, eh?
You just got to throw it right back at him, though, and say, look, you guys,
hey, what's up with
3 years
coin?
Here,
hey,
Brexit.
Wait a minute.
You haven't been able to figure this out for 3 years.
Here's your comeback, Boris freaking Johnson.
Exactly.
Yeah, they can make fun of Trump all they want. I'll take Trump over Boris Johnson any day of the week, especially that hair.
Bingo.
So, yeah.
But I'd be shocked if you don't get asked about that at some point.
Okay.
Okay, so what opinion am I supposed to share, though? Because it depends on where you are in Canada. If you're in Western Canada, you better love Trump or you're an idiot. If you're in Ontario, you better say bad things.
It's the same thing, right? Okay. If you're dealing with like working class, you know, Londoners, they're probably going to be pro Johnson and pro Brexit, right? If you're dealing with you know, kind of white collar folks, they're probably going to be like, who is this president you have, right? They're going to throw that in your face. So just be, you guys will be fine. It's London's pretty tame, man. Remember, this is the country where the cops have sticks.
Yeah.
Not guns.
Yeah, so we don't have to worry about getting shot.
Exactly.
Because I do plan on breaking the law.
And, hey, if you got Hoffman by your side, because they do, you know, you get into a bar, a pub, you know, you never know, but this guy will take him down, so.
I'm going to fight like this with my fists facing, my knuckles facing into my own face. Hey, bloke, you want to have a go of it?
Oh, God.
It's going to be fun. Going to be fun. What's the one thing you guys, like, aside from the game, like, really want to do or see in London?
Natalie Portman.
Bada boom.
I mean, honestly, I just want to, I want to go to, like, I want to crawl through a couple pubs.
Yep.
I just want to, you know, some of the old school, like, you know, like London pubs. I want to drink some beer in those places. For the most part, here's the deal. When I travel, I leave things to my wife. I say, listen, I want to drink here, here, and here. Otherwise, I don't care what we do. And she plans things out. And we're going to like some cathedral. We're going to some. We're riding that stupid giant Ferris wheel. She's got places picked out that she wants to go take pictures of. I just go along with it. And when we're done with that, I say, all right, let's go drink for a while. And I've got a whole day on Saturday where we're going to Belgium. We're catching a flight to Belgium. It's like an hour flight, and I'm spending 8 hours doing nothing but drinking and eating street vendor waffles. That's my whole day.
That's the other thing you have to look forward to, AJ, is America, the flight attendants cop an attitude if you're kind of have been maybe one beer too many.
Oh, really?
You won't have to worry about that over there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, don't do anything stupid.
No, but I mean, you're talking about American flight attendants, right?
Oh, yeah. You got 3 drinks and they're like, nope, you can't board. Yeah. Sorry, blah, blah. You know,
I won't
have any of that there.
I had one coming back from Vegas when basically it was me and Booker and Brad. And Brad and I were having a conversation, and he was sitting like the row behind me. And this flying waitress comes up and basically says, do you guys want to sit next to each other? You're going to have this conversation all night? I'm like, we just sat down. And by the way, it's first class. Bring me a drink, bitch.
Nice.
All right. Pop down.
Yeah.
That's how you talk to the stewardesses in Europe.
Oh,
I actually have a lot of respect for flight attendants, but when you're a jerk.
Hey, don't you talk to me like that.
You're really working on this, dude. You are ready. You do like morning exercises in front of the mirror?
My wife is like, don't you dare.
Oh, don't you dare. You know what I'm doing when I get there. I'm going full Maynard Monroe from Pasadena, Texas. Hello, Britain. I see you guys don't let me have my guns. What the hell?
I'm showing up in full Astros gear, regardless of what happens. I'm with you, Fred. I think we texted it up.
Are you a real Astro fan or are you a phony Astro
fan? Here's the deal, man.
He's got Crawford back. Of course he's an Astros fan.
And here's the deal. I grew up, so I've been thinking about this a lot because I know I'm getting asked about it a lot.
Yeah,
I am a Broncos fan no matter what. They have won championships. good ownership. They did what it took. In the bag, whatever. The Rockies, God love them, God bless them, but their owners are so freaking cheap and inept. I mean, the Texan fan should be kissing Bob's you know hand and the McNair family for the rest of their life compared to what the Rockies fan has had to go through. So,
what about
I feel about obliged Nuggets? To be a Nuggets for sure. That absolutely.
What about Avalanche?
Oh heck yeah!
All right, we need to road trip up and catch a game.
We do, man. This might be their year. You never know. They might be back. They've cooled off a little bit, but they.
Boy, they. Well, one of their best players is hurt right now, but they're really good.
Hey, Tyler, how long do we have? Okay, I want to ask you, and because you're here, Tyler, you're filling in for Aaron today, and you're also a fan of metal. This was the one of the we didn't do a full dumbass report today, but I do want to ask you about this guy. Have you ever heard of a band called Walls of Jericho?
I have heard of them, yes.
Okay, they're like a what's called a straight edge metal band, which means they don't drink, they don't do drugs.
No drugs, no drinking.
Which is lame, right?
A lot of times straight edge bands are vegan as well.
Yes. And the guys that from Between the Buried and Me, the guys that I'm friends with, most of them are straight edge vegans. They're weirdos. So this Walls of Jericho drummer, Dustin Schoenefer.
I saw the story earlier.
He's from this straight edge band that preaches no drugs, no alcohol. He got arrested with just over 632 pounds of marijuana.
Oh.
And 36.8 pounds of suspected honey oil extract while driving back to his home in Ohio from Oregon. He was going 57 and a 35. And he claimed to responding police he was unaware there were drugs in the vehicle.
Of course.
I just happened to miss that 632 and a half pounds of marijuana. That doesn't
all right,
usually
can I,
work.
Can I just say, as a former rock and roller, if you don't do drugs, you don't belong in rock and roll.
That's what 632 and a half pounds of weed looks like.
Wow.
Whoa.
I could live on that for the rest of my life.
He was in a van?
Yeah. I mean, it's like bales of weed. I mean, that's just...
Yeah, there's no way you're claiming, like,
oh, I didn't know
ignorance.
That was this. You do that if there's, like, they find a joint in the ashtray. Oh, this isn't even my truck. I don't know who was driving it last. I don't know why there's a roach in there. I don't even know why there's 632 pounds of weed in the back. I didn't put that there.
You need an 18-wheeler for that.
That's a lot
like.
Of weed.
Yeah, to me, it's the... You can't take the sex and drugs out of sex, drugs, rock and roll. And you can't be a Christian rock band. That's a contradiction in terms,
well,
too.
Well, that's kind of BS, though, because you're not a drug guy.
I'm a weed guy.
Well, that doesn't even count as drugs.
Oh, stop. I've
if
heard
you
want
to be a rock and roller, you need to do heroin.
Nope, not going to happen.
That's why I'm
but
saying
you've done other stuff, right?
No.
Back
I've only
done
weed.
Only weed and alcohol.
Yeah.
Wow. Impressed.
He's borderline straight edge.
Impressed.
That's not straight edge.
He's like jagged edge.
Fred is in the club, dude. Fred, I know Fred, and I know, no, he's fine.
Well, not if you were a rock and roller.
Sure he is, man.
I'll tell you a story off air about
it's
weed, what they it's, thought of me when I
you gotta have heroin
weed.
Or acid, otherwise you're not a real rock and roller.
All right, we're out of here. Till tomorrow, stay sportsy, bitches.